Thank you, and we'll switch gears a little bit now. We've been talking at things in the laboratory, and I'm going to speak today about how we can use soil sensing technology to hopefully get a handle on some of these soil health indicators out in the field. I brought the engineering and the instrumentation expertise to the project, and my colleagues Kristen Vium and Newell Kitchen brought the soil science expertise. So, there's lots of different indicators that might be measured for soil health, soil quality. This is a list of some of them that may be used in the SMAF, and of course then we want to combine those and come up with some sort of an integrated measure perhaps of soil health. And there's lots of work involved, particularly if we want to assess things across landscapes. And if we want to measure these indicators spatially with standard methods where we're going out and doing sample collection and maybe some pretreatment and then laboratory analysis, there's time, there's cost, there's lots involved there, and so that does limit our ability to really understand how things vary out there on the landscape, and it does. Things do vary, and this is just an example from one of our fields, about a 7-hectare area that shows variations in soil organic carbon. The data was done from laboratory samples at the points that are represented by crosses there that were done on a 30-meter grid. And you might argue that you could get by with less data, but really the spatial structure that we see there says that you probably wouldn't see that structure quite as well if you took much less data. And so how do we get around that? How do we make that process more efficient? And so what we're going to look at today is a project that we've been working on and figuring out ways to use proximal soil sensing technology to help us to understand soil health variations in the field. And these are some of the things that we've been looking at, looking at soil reflectance in the visible and near-infrared and shortwave infrared range, soil mechanical resistance or penetration resistance, soil conductivity, and of course ways of sensing macronutrients. My colleague Slava Adamchuk at McGill University has done a great job of putting together this chart that shows some of the different things that we can measure with proximal soil sensors and at least in a general sense the applicability of what's good for different soil properties. And you can see here that there's quite a variety of the soil properties that we can measure with the different sensors, but there's also obviously some of them that are measured better with some sensing technologies versus others. One example of using proximal sensing to measure an important soil health indicator is here, some work that Kristen led in a recently published article where we were looking at using visible and near-infrared reflectance and relating that to a bunch of these different indicators that might be used in the SMAF soil quality index. And so what we found there was that optical reflectance was pretty good at estimating several of the biological indicators such as biomass carbon and beta-glucosidase, and of course organic carbon, which we expected, but not very good for physical indicators or chemical indicators that we might want to know about. And this really was not unexpected. We also looked at some different ways of using physical sensing soil physical properties, and in particular here trying to get at bulk density of the soil by measuring the resistance to penetration with an on-the-go sensor that we developed in our lab with a graduate student. And what we found there was that PSSI, which is the on-the-go analog to CI or cone index that we got from this sensor gave us some indication of bulk density, but not a very good one. So how do we improve the results? How do we get better results, or how do we get results for more soil properties? And this idea of sensor fusion is what we're looking at now. And I can't take credit for this, what one might call a rather Rube Goldberg setup here. This came from Alex McBratney's lab at the University of Sydney, and if any of you know Alex, you can certainly recognize that this looks like something that might come out of his lab. But the idea then is to put a bunch of sensors together, put a bunch of information together to improve accuracy of our estimates, importantly to be more robust to various operating or ambient conditions, and also to hopefully be able to, by fusing sensors together, be able to estimate more parameters of interest. So some of the things that that are out there that help us do that, there's some commercial equipment there where some of the companies have already done this. They put multiple sensors together on a platform, and the Veris company out of Kansas has done that with their MSP3 sensor, which includes optical sensor on a shank at two different wavelengths, which can obviously give you an indication of soil darkness, and to the extent that soil darkness relates to organic matter within whatever area you're working, then you can hopefully get an estimation of organic matter. It has soil conductivity measurements at two different depths, and those are often related to texture, clay content, and of course salinity, if you have salinity in your soils. And then they have an ion selective electrode set up for pH on there as well. Another commercial sensor fusion instrument, also from Veris, is this this probe type, this penetrometer instrument, the Veris P4000, and that instrument includes visible and near infrared spectrometers for soil reflectance. It has dipole contacts for soil conductivity, and that's down here on the tip. And then here's the where the reflectance measurement is done, and then it also has a load cell for measuring force and cone index. And so we can get data down to about a meter depth in the soil with this particular device at certain points within a field. The other option, if you're trying to do this, is what I would call offline data fusion. And rather than just trying to take all these measurements simultaneously with one platform, perhaps you can bring some other things together, and whether that data is all collected at the same time, maybe you can bring in some remote sensing data, some digital elevation maps and things like that that may help you to infer some of the things you want to know. So what I want to do now is talk about a few sensor fusion case studies that we've done. And the first one here was a project where we were trying to improve bulk density estimates, and I showed earlier that those didn't turn out very well if we just were measuring one sensor variable. And so here we were trying to use multiple sensor measurements relating bulk density to not only penetration resistance but also soil conductivity as measured by the Veris 3100 machine that you see here. And we did this on a couple of different soil types in our local area there in central Missouri. What we found was that we could do a reasonable job of estimating bulk density. And here, is these graphs are done on a field-by-field basis. You can see the clay pan soil fields, a higher clay content soil through the profile. We did quite well with on these graphs looking at estimated bulk density versus measured. On the alluvial field, the the regression isn't as great, but the RMSE is actually about the same. And so what we found, though, was we couldn't do this just with our soil strength sensor, our penetration resistance and conductivity. We also had to know what the water content was. And anyone who's worked with this kind of data, that's not really a surprise. Problem is, on-the-go water content sensors are still a little bit difficult. And we're working with Dr. Adam Chuck at McGill, who I mentioned earlier, on a project where we're trying to get a on-the-go water content sensor to work a little better and hopefully to improve this, because in this analysis that water content was measured gravimetrically rather than on the go. Another project that we had was looking at trying to estimate the soil health indices from the SMAF by fusing VIS-NIR, cone index, and conductivity data. And we did this on a study site where landscape differences and cropping system differences gave us a wide variety of conditions. And so we, of course, did all the analysis in the lab. Kristen did all the analysis in the lab for this and did the work on getting the scoring functions together for that. And then in the lab also we collected spectral data from the soil samples, and we had field data for EC and cone index. And so we cut that out for the layers that we had the soil samples. We put all this data together to see how good we could estimate the different components of the SMAF scoring functions. And so this bar graph shows a comparison of in the red bar the R-squared for putting the fused data together, and the orange bar is just the optical data. And so we were able to improve things, not as well as we would like, but particularly with the physical SMAF score, we were able to bring that up a bit. We've more recently acquired one of the P4000 machines that actually allows you to get the spectra in the field. And so we've been doing a bunch of that lately, and this is a representation of the data that you get from that instrument. As the probe is going down into the soil, it's collecting a measurement every about 5 centimeters as it goes down into the soil profile. And what you see here is lab measurements of sand and clay by horizon on the left, just for reference. Then you see a heat map of reflectance by wavelength, and then the EC and the force measurements. And so we've done this at multiple sites within fields and trying to see how that's working out for us. And so so what we're seeing there is that with the few soil properties that we've looked at so far, we are able to get some improvements, in particular with some of the soil physical properties. Bulk density still isn't as good of a result as we would like to be able to rely on it, but we are able to get some improvements on some of the texture properties as opposed to just using the optical data alone. So to leave you with a few summary points, I think our stalwart in measuring soil health is going to continue to be spectroscopy, soil spectroscopy in the visible and near infrared ranges. It gives us good estimates for quite a few of the properties that are important, like carbon and some of the biological indicators. We add some of the physical measurements in, we can do a better job in some of the other things that are important, in particular some of the physical inputs to the models. And we continue to work on this, trying to improve the results using in-field data, because that is our goal, to be able to do these measurements totally within the field with the sensors, and then be able to map that to understand how things vary across landscapes and fields. So, thank you very much.